Welcome to the podcast. This podcast is entitled Democrats Have Hijacked and Are Destroying Our Federation. So, the national government was originally created so that states, there are certain things states couldn't do on their own very well. Dealing with other countries, dealing with disputes between states, having laws that are uniform, trade rules, because they kept disagreeing on them, tariffs, import taxes, all kinds of things like that that make sense for a central government to do. So we got together and said, hey, let's have a central government that does some things. And we'll have a system where we have states that matter and a federal government that matters. We call it the federal government. I'm sure it's not confusing to you, but it is just generally confusing. It's more like a central government or the federation government, but we call it the federal government. But I wish we would call it something else because it sounds confusing. So we go from 1787, and really, I mean, we had a central government. It wasn't really a federal system. I mean, maybe in some ways they did call, I think even under the articles, they called the national government the federal government. Yeah, the federal Congress, I think they called it. But it wasn't really a federal system. A federal system is, it was more like a confederation, not a federation. Anyway, that doesn't matter right now. So basically, since the beginning of the country until the Civil War, after the Civil War, we had a federation where the states were kind of equal in power to the federal government. And that changed after the Civil War. The reason it changed is because the federal government took on the role, or we gave it the role through the Constitution, of making sure that civil rights were observed throughout the states. Now, this is one thing that they debated at the Constitutional Convention. Madison actually, and some others, actually wanted the federal government to be able to cancel state laws. When he talks about a large republic that protects everyone's rights because no single faction can take over, he meant kind of what we have now. He envisioned a large republic, not with a unitary government, but he wanted the federal government to cancel state laws, if need be, because he didn't think the states could effectively have fair governments, because he saw Shays' Rebellion. He saw other things going on in small states like Rhode Island, where factions were controlling it. You might live in a small city or something where there's a group of people, like some rich people, who control the town or the city or the county or something. And nobody can really do anything about it. And so that's an example of a small republic that is just controlled by a few rich people. And nobody can really do anything about it. So that's what he saw in our states. And he said, yeah, I don't think this works. But if you have a huge republic that actually represents the people and all the interests, rich people, poor people, different races, different religions, different regions, if everybody's represented, then nobody's going to take control. That was the idea. That's in Federalist 10. Good luck reading it. It's it's not roll off the tongue. It's like the reading of it. It's not easy reading. But that's basically what he says as far as I understand it. So after the Civil War, through the 14th Amendment, we give the federal government the role and the power. We give them the role of making sure that civil rights are obeyed in or observed in states, and that laws are applied equally to everyone in the state. That was not the people at the Constitutional Convention would not have given the federal government that power. I'm not saying it shouldn't have that power. I'm not saying the 14th Amendment is bad. But just understand, that was a huge shift, a really big shift. It would be kind of like giving the UN the power to come in and make sure that countries like the United States is observing people's civil rights. It does not have that power now. It does it in some other countries, but does not do that here. So it'd be kind of like that. I know the UN isn't a we don't elect them and all that. That's kind of like that. That's kind of how it would feel to the states. So understand that shift. Before that, the states would just say, get out of here, federal government. You have nothing to do with. I mean, if the federal government couldn't tell states they can't have slavery, they can't really tell them to do anything inside their states. So the problem with that is because they didn't give the federal government that role, they didn't give it those powers, the powers that are needed to enforce something like that. It was truly set up as a general government that just dealt with things that only affected all the states. It didn't really go into states and meddle in state affairs. They didn't give it that power. So when we give it that responsibility, there's no mechanism to effectively do that. What do you use? And so during Reconstruction, they just used the military. That's the only thing that the federal government had. They didn't have the FBI. They didn't have the ATF. It doesn't do civil rights stuff. But they had federal courts, yeah. But they didn't have an enforcement mechanism for all of this. So they just end up using the military during Reconstruction. And so we've taken this apparatus, this structure that was never really meant to do the things that we're asking it to do. And over the next 100 years, 150 years, they basically built structures to do it. But it has turned the federal government into this huge thing. And that's one of the problems, is that it can be abused. And we're seeing the Democrats starting to abuse it. Like, not just a little bit. They're turning the federal government into a political weapon. It's pretty obvious at this point. So one of the ways we got here is the Supreme Court. So originally, the Bill of Rights, if you read through it, it doesn't talk about the states and what the states can't do to us. It talks about what the federal government can't do to us. It was a Bill of Rights aimed at limiting federal power. That's why it was created. It said, hey, this new thing that we're creating, we're really scared of it. And so the people across all of these states that were in the ratifying conventions, they said, we will only vote for this if you promise to put in a Bill of Rights. And a lot of them wanted like a second constitutional convention. But James Madison, who wrote the Bill of Rights, he was like, well, we're not renegotiating the Constitution. It was hard enough to get it as it is. So I'm just going to write a Bill of Rights and float it to Congress and then float it out to the people. And we'll use the amendment process written into the Constitution to change the Constitution. But we won't really change the structure of the Constitution. We'll just add in articles that represent saying, hey, the government can't do these things to us. So after the Civil War, because the federal government now has that role of protecting people's civil rights inside of states, the Supreme Court starts to do this thing called incorporation. And so they start saying, hey, the First Amendment applies to states too. Because the First Amendment originally said the federal government can't stop you from exercising your religion and free press and all this stuff. Now states can't do it either. Because if you go read the 14th Amendment, it says you can't abridge the privileges and immunities that citizens of the United States have. So if the federal government can't do that to you, then states can't do that to you either. So most of the Bill of Rights now has been incorporated. I think there's, I don't know which ones, 7 and 6 or something. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. But just a few of them now don't apply to the states. So basically I'm not saying we've like bastardized the Bill of Rights, but we've kind of used it in the opposite way it was originally intended. It was originally meant that the federal government can't do these things to you. Now it's the federal government saying, hey, see this Bill of Rights that restricts us? It also restricts you now. You also can't do these things to your citizens. So a couple examples of that, Miranda versus Arizona. There was this guy in Arizona who got arrested. I think it was in the 60s. And he didn't speak good English. He didn't understand his rights. And so they questioned him, and he ended up admitting to a crime. But he didn't know he didn't have to speak. He didn't know he could remain silent. He didn't know he didn't have to testify against himself. So they overturned the conviction. And that's where we get the Miranda rights, right? If you have to Mirandize people, that's where this comes from. And the Supreme Court said, hey, you got to tell people about their right to know the charges against them. You have to tell people that they don't have to incriminate themselves. They don't really have to talk to the cops. You have to tell people all these things. And so then the Supreme Court forced cops to start saying that to people, or else the arrests weren't legitimate, or the confessions weren't legitimate. So that's the federal government using incorporation to say, yeah, all these things apply to states too. Civil rights laws, same thing. Hey, if the federal government can't do these things, then states can't do these things either. So understand the federal government now, and since the 14th Amendment, but really, I don't know all the history of this, but really since the civil rights movement, now it is in the role of, I always kind of call it riding in on this knight on a white horse to come in and solve all these problems inside of states. And that's, I feel like now that analogy, it's kind of a derogatory analogy. I feel like it kind of works now. I'm not saying in the 60s it didn't have a role. Like, go check out the Freedom Riders. They got on a bus and they said, hey, the federal government says if it's an interstate bus route, then you can't segregate the bus. Let's see if that actually works. And they got beat up and their bus got bombed and they had to send in federal marshals to escort these people just riding like a Greyhound bus. I don't know if it was Greyhound, but whatever, a bus like that. That's crazy. And so I'm not saying the federal government shouldn't have done that. I'm just saying, well, here's the example. So what the federal government now is doing is running around telling everybody that they have to believe in transgender ideology, using this power that we gave the federal government. So remember when Obama came out and said, all schools across the country have to let any kid use whatever bathroom they want. He just said that. It's just an edict from on high. Do you really think that's what they meant when they wrote the 14th Amendment? Do you really think anyone at the Constitutional Convention, yes, I know there were slaveholders, but they were excellent writers of laws. And they actually cared about us, and they, all of us, not just the white people, and they cared about our rights. They talked about posterity all the time. That means us. And there's no way they would say, no, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. The federal government in D.C. can reach down into the smallest town in Nebraska and tell it who gets to use what bathroom. That cannot be what the federal government was created to do. Sorry. That should not be the role of the federal government. And if you think that, then you don't want a federated republic. You want some kind of top-down, unitary state where the federal government tells us every little thing to do. And so what they have done is they've hijacked and kind of bastardized this role of saying, hey, you have to treat everyone equally. Now it's, you have to obey our ideology. You have to bow down, and we're going to use the power of the federal government to force you to adopt our ideology. And they're headed for the churches next. And they're headed for parents next. If a parent teaches their kid something that doesn't agree with their ideology, that parent is going to have that kid taken away from them. That church that teaches what they see as moral is going to be attacked. Is that really what you want the federal government doing? And they see it as the same thing as the Little Rock Nine, right? Forcing a state to integrate its schools, they see as the exact same thing as forcing a boy who has gender dysphoria and identifies as a girl into the girls' locker room in a high school. And if you say, I don't care who uses a bathroom, do you care if your 14-year-old daughter is in a locker room with a boy? Do you care about that? Then this is a big issue. And the federal government, the Democrats, have hijacked the civil rights enforcement power of the federal government to do this to us. To decide this very complicated issue that should be decided by communities. And they've decided that in their wisdom, they're going to force us to obey their ideology, to act like we agree with it. This is tyrannical. This is not how a free country operates, at least the one that we are supposed to be living in. That's dictatorial. And we now have a system where the states are not powerful enough to push back. There is a letter written by Thomas Jefferson to one of his friends, I think Cartwright, in England. It's after the Revolution, of course. And he explains to him, and remember, Jefferson wasn't at the Constitutional Convention, but he understood the Constitution. And he wrote Virginia's Constitution, okay? He was not a slouch when it comes to government. And there were some different interpretations on how the government, the Constitution was to be interpreted. But this was his interpretation. And he said, no, we do not have a system where the federal government gets to tell the states what to do. He said, if there's a confusion in the power of the federal government, the states and the federal government get together and negotiate what's going to happen. Now, I assume he just meant the amendment process. But he understood it as like this amiable arrangement where the states get to decide what happens to them. Do we have that now? We don't have that now. We have a federal government that tells all of us what to do, not just our states, all of us, through an edict, an entire continent of 320 million free people are ruled by a handful of people in D.C. And yeah, we elect them, yada, yada, yada. They still rule over us, and all of our other governments have to obey them. And because so much of it is through the executive branch, so much of it is arbitrary. So much of it is just whatever they want to happen is going to happen. They can just interpret the law however they want. And just do whatever they want, almost. Think if they really wanted to do something, they would just do it. What are the states going to do? The president can just nationalize the National Guard. Right? Think about the instance of the Little Rock Nine. I'm not saying that shouldn't have happened. I'm not saying Eisenhower did the wrong thing. Or, yeah, it was Eisenhower. Anyway, the governor of the state said, no, segregation is a local issue. And he nationalized the National Guard to keep those black students out of that high school. And eventually the president nationalized the military, that the National Guard and sent in federal troops and escorted those kids into the building because he said, look, this is federal law. The Supreme Court said the Constitution says that states can't do this. And according to the 14th Amendment, you can't segregate them. So you're not going to. So if you take that example and extrapolate it out to any dispute, the bathrooms dispute, the boys and girls sports dispute, whatever else, churches teaching kids about homosexuality, all that stuff, parents not acknowledging that their kid is actually a different gender than they were born, all this. The federal government has its hands in all of that now. And kind of depending on whatever president is in power, that's what's going to happen to us. That doesn't sound like a representative republic of laws. That sounds eerily similar to a dictatorship, some kind of authoritarian one part, like, I don't know, unitary state. So we've let this get out of hand. And somehow we got to rebalance the system. Thank you for listening.